Congressman, I appreciate, first of all, the chance to connect. We haven't talked since you got appointed to Ways and Means. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and really excited to, you know, work on rural issues, on Ways and Means. There's so much, you know, there's taxes, there's farm bill issues, and trade, which I'm happy to be on the trade subcommittee. We just were appointed to that, too. Well, actually, we picked that one, but so excited to get to work.
Speaking of the trade, and I was going to get to that because I look at the Biden administration and their approach to trade has not been out negotiating new trade deals. They've been working on some compliance issues and those kind of things. But what's your take on how we should be maneuvering in this trade situation, particularly from ag's perspective?
You know, and I will say I've been really disappointed with the way that the Biden administration has handled it. And I think we need to be more aggressive, and we're really looking for those markets because our ag products need those markets, and I think we can find other places to build our market. And so I think that Chairman Smith, I call him Congressman, but he is chairman now, but Chairman Smith was really talking about that. He really wants to focus on trade because he really feels that the Biden administration has let us down. So we are going to be looking at that, and I think there are ways that we can get those markets open. So we're going to be pushing that.
The U.S. Trade Representative's office had an announcement yesterday about Canada and doing a petition through the USMCA. Certainly dairy's a big part of the 7th District.
Oh, absolutely. And we're still working with Canada and hope we'll get it right this time. You know, we've been working with that USMCA issue for a while, and you know, we've also got the non-GMO issue in Mexico, and so we are working through those.
You met recently with your Ag Advisory Committees. I'm curious, what kind of feedback did you get?
You know, it was great to meet with them, and the district is so big. We've got a northern one and a southern Ag Advisory, and so, you know, talking a lot about just what's upcoming in the Farm Bill. You know, we're getting down to crunch time, and so talking about the crop insurance and talking about the dairy margin program and those kinds of things, and making sure that we understand what's important to them, what needs to stay in that bill. And I think we're even going to be, you know, stepping it up and maybe doing some of the Ag Advisory with Zooms so that everybody doesn't have to drive. But, you know, as we get closer, you know, we've got 8 months until that Farm Bill is needed and or, you know, expires. And so I think we're going to be stepping that up and making sure that we hear everything. And if things change, making sure we get everything we need to in that Farm Bill.
Chairman Thompson seems committed to getting this thing done before it expires at the end of September. It's a heavy lift. Do you think that can be accomplished?
Oh, I think so. And if anybody can do it, Chairman Thompson can. And he has an aggressive schedule, absolutely. But he's going to be getting out there. And, you know, we might even see him in Minnesota at some point. But I think that he is really going to move things along. And unfortunately, you know, last year we didn't focus on it as much as we should have. We were busy having all kinds of other hearings that didn't address the Farm Bill. But Chairman Thompson's going to start, you know, he's going to hit the ground running.
Do you think possibility of field hearings in Minnesota?
Could be. I've heard rumors, but nothing's set in stone yet.
One of the other issues I look at from an ag perspective, whether it's at the farm or food manufacturing, is workforce issues. It's very hard to get employees, no matter where you are, but particularly in some of your more rural areas. What do you see as kind of the way, path forward there?
You know, one of the things I talked about, and I talk about quite a bit, is, you know, strong rural communities. But included in that, you know, is the workforce. And so when you're looking at that, you got to look at housing, you got to look at healthcare, you got to look at education. But really very specific thing that I've been working on is that H-2A visa. You know, we had some discussions last year in the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, but it never made it through the Senate. I mean, I know there was negotiations going on, and maybe someone will revive part of it now, but I look at the H-2A, and if we can start there, and we can start to move forward and take that seasonality, you know, the seasonal restrictions off of it and some of the price restrictions off of it, maybe we can get things moving and kind of stop that, or move that logjam that we have right now with those visas and that workforce issue.
When you take a look at the majority, both chambers, it's so thin. What challenge is that in moving big pieces of legislation, whether it's Farm Bill, immigration, some of those kind of things, as we move forward here?
Well, you know, I see it as an opportunity, because I think then you're going to get bills that reflect what everybody needs and what things we need, what the country needs, what the country wants, you know, as we negotiate those things. We can't just put something out and say, okay, take it or leave it. We're going to have to be talking about it and make sure it fits what people need.
The Speaker opened up the for open amendments at this point, too. You're on rules. Talk to me about that. I think ag sometimes worries in a farm bill that you could get a poison pill on sugar or crop insurance, those kind of things.
Well, and you know what? I was met with the sugar beet growers today, and, you know, and they've been in town this week. But I think, you know, each bill gets a different rule. And, yes, we did have an open rule, which means free amendments on the floor. But, you know, as we look at some of those bills, and I think the farm bill is probably a little more delicate, you'll probably see either a structured rule or potentially a closed rule where there won't be amendments on the floor, but amendments in other, you know, in the other committees.
You're writing this first farm bill, or this farm bill, the first one since we've had a pandemic, and we've gone through a time where we've had empty shelves at the supermarket. Do you think that helps us as we go into a farm bill debate, just that idea of food security?
Oh, I think so. And I think, you know, as we look at, I think people are realizing that, you know, our ag industry and our food supply is national security, because they saw it. They, you know, they were having trouble getting foods. I mean, we won't even mention toilet paper and paper towels because it's not food, but they see that and they will remember that. And I think they understand that how important ag is, and ag produced in the country, in the United States, is important to our national security.
Well, I want to be conscious of your time. We always appreciate the chance to visit.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you being here. And I will say to everybody, if you have any ideas on the Farm Bill, please make sure you reach out to us.